Well, good morning, everybody. It is awesome to be with you. Like Tim said, I'm Michael, and I'm one of the pastors here. I just had a brand new baby, and I'm not the only one. There's other Dicks in the church here representing two of them. Two more. There's three. Three Dicks just got added to the church. So that's pretty cool. About 3.5 years ago when we moved to Sylvan, we moved into our house where we live now. And prior to us living here, I had done literally nothing in renovations. Like, I knew nothing. I was like, when you thought of a city boy, you're like, oh, I bet you can't drive standard and you can't fix anything. It was like, yes, those are all true. But my wife came and she saw empty walls and said, we can do things to these places. And she saw light fixtures that could be changed. And she saw a person who could use YouTube. So every part in our house since then has been adjusted. And I swear there is literally no more rooms to be done. Every room has been done in the last 3.5 years. But it's been a process that we've been doing. And the whole thing that my wife wanted to do, she saw a space that could be made more beautiful. Another image I see when we think about beautiful buildings is my in-laws' house. They live on the lake, all right? And when people go by the house, like when it's glass out there, you can perfectly hear what people say. And you just hear people pull out their phones and you hear the shakeek where they take the picture of the house and they just keep paddling on because it's a beautiful structure that they see. And our eyes are drawn to beautiful things. And God has made you and I to actually be the temple of God, to be like a building. You are called and built to be the dwelling place of God. You are the temple. We are in a church, right? This is what we think of the temple. But what you see Jesus actually say is you are the temple. You are the building in which the Holy Spirit is to now dwell. The question we're going to be really looking at is who is building you? Who is building your temple? Who is the one doing the renovations in the rooms of your life? Something we want to fight. Richard Foster, an American preacher, said this: superficiality is the curse of our age. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. Here's the thing. You can have a beautiful-looking church on the outside, and a beautiful home on the outside, but when you walk in, what is it that people see? If people were to get a clear view into your heart, what would they see? What would they see if your whole body and your whole being was completely transparent? What would be the things that everybody would see? Would it be a house that is cluttered with stuff? Would it be something that's like a show home? It's beautiful on the outside, but it's good for nothing. What God desires for us is that our hearts and our lives would be able to have the Holy Spirit move through it easily, through the whole building, without any obstructions in the way of him being able to go from room to room to room to room of your life, different areas of your heart. That's what God's after. He wants to do that. But here's part of the problem. Why is superficiality a problem? I like looking like Jesus. What I mean by that is like I don't look like an Israeli, maybe a little bit. Like I got the hair going. I got a little bit of the skin tone, but I don't look like Jesus. Or I want to look like Jesus in my manner of character. But do I want to do the work of what it actually takes to truly look like Jesus? And there's on the outside, I can throw up on enough makeup to make it look like I am becoming more like Jesus. But truthfully, when it comes to the matter of the heart and the different areas of my life, that's what's truly happening. I want the look of Jesus without the work. Because the work is hard. To truly look more like Jesus has truly been, the more I've seen it and the more I've been a Christian, seriously hard work. I wish I knew that sooner. I wish somebody told me that, but I think they did and I just wasn't listening. You know, I look at my marriage and how the day I got married, I was like, man, I'm literally the perfect husband. And just since then, it's just been so proven wrong, you know? There's so many areas for improvement. The longer I've been married and the more I live with Jesus, I see the more rooms that Christ wants to infect and change in the ways that I think, in the ways that I feel, in the way that my expressions are to others, and then whose will am I listening to in what I do? Part of the problem is we don't always know where to look to become more like Jesus, even though it says turn to Jesus and look to him. Sometimes what we see within our world is we turn to self-help books. You know, we got self-help books that we can turn to. Sometimes the issue is I'm not actually ready for full surrender to Jesus, in allowing him to truly shape me into who he wants me to be. Sometimes I'm not convinced that the Christ life is truly the ultimate life I possibly could live. Like, I feel it should be Jesus plus certain things I want within my life. Like, Jesus, don't take this from me or my life will be ruined. Do we all have that thing that we can think of almost immediately? I know I have things that I can almost think of immediately that I go, Jesus, I just don't want you to touch that area of my life. Sometimes I'm not convinced that the Jesus life is truly all that it says it is. And the final two would be the lack of vision. Sometimes I haven't taken time to actually sit down and go, God, what should my life look like? If I were to mark out a 5-year plan for myself personally, what would that personal vision look like? Some of us have never done that. And it's not to be ashamed right now. It's to go, oh my goodness, I've never done that. You know, on the board here, we have a statement of faith or a vision for our church. You know, we want to be a loving community. You know, we want to make much of Jesus within our community. We have it written up there that we see. What about our life? Do we have personal vision? Final problem sometimes I see within building the temple that can hinder is a lack of faith in the power of God. Sometimes there's areas of my life that I go, I don't think God can actually fix that. I don't think God could actually change that in me. Whether it's from cynicism to anger to an addiction, sometimes we look at it and go, I will always be this way. But just a verse for that would be, for we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. This whole thing about being built into the temple, being the building that God wants us to become, today we're really going to look at ourselves as a building. So when I'm talking about a building today, I'm talking about you and your soul and your inner being. Every time I talk about the building, that's what I'm talking about. So don't think about this structure. Think about yourself. That's what I want you to picture. But Jesus is the one who's going to come and do the work. And it isn't by work of the hands of a person, but by the hands of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Here's what A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance, had to say about doing this, about building the temple. He says, much work is destroyed by being done in our own way. He demands that if we, in his temple, we must build on his plan, on his foundation he has laid according to the specifications and with the materials that he has supplied. We often hear of some new religious enterprise being started. The church is not an enterprise, but a divine temple built of divine materials by the Holy Ghost through consecrated men and women. There was too much man's enterprise about it. When I hear that, I read that, here's what I hear. For us to have this deep work happen within us, what we need is a move of the power of God. That's what you need. If you look at your life and you say, there's no change in it, I would tell you you're 100% right if we rely on man's enterprise and machinery and thoughts to conquer the day. We need Christ's thoughts, Christ's foundation, and God's power through his Spirit, which God is saying, give me access to every room. Give me access to every room. So here's Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. This is where we're really going to be bunking ourselves down. But it says this, consequently, what a tough word to start with. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And just one more scripture that you can really hear, you are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy. You are that temple. God wants to see you as a building that he can flow through and use for his purposes. That's what he wants to do. Be clear. Jesus is the one building you and bringing you together to make sense of your life. If you've ever looked at your life and say, nothing makes sense. Don't worry. Give it all to Jesus and watch what he does when he brings it together. It's beautiful. You see, we live in a world that has an identity crisis right now. Everybody says, you go ahead, name yourself and claim yourself. You tell the world what you are. That is 100% opposite of what you read in the scriptures. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. Christ purchased us so that we could have right standings, but also he bought rights to our identity. He's the one who made us, and he is the one who has the right to claim us. When it came to the rich young ruler, and he asked, this guy came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternity?
He said, you must go. He had done everything. He had done everything right. He says, but one thing you haven't done. Take what you have and go and give it to the poor. Why do I love that passage so much? Because there was one thing in this guy's life that he wasn't ready to lay down. But what Jesus wants access to within our identity and naming us is everything. He wants access to every part of us so that he can begin to tell us who he is. And that's this idea of being the chief cornerstone. If the starting stone is right, in a wall, and if you've ever done fencing, you get that first post wrong and it's just downhill from there. That first mark, that first stone you put sets the rest of it correct. If it is wrong, the whole structure is off. And that is so true in buildings. If a foundation is bad, it isn't livable to be in the house then. The foundation has to be good. And that's what Jesus says he is. Of the building that you and I are, what has to be the core of my being? It has to be Christ and Christ alone. He's the one who will make the rest of the building true. If he's there, it will begin to set everything in the right places. If I have anything else there, problems are bound to come. Jesus isn't asking to be a post within, or he's not asking to be just a room within a house. He's saying, let me be the foundation. It's like if we're talking about the idea of building a brick fence. Jesus isn't asking to be a block in the fence. He's asking to be the key one. But here's what can happen sometimes. If I don't let Jesus have access and I just let him be a block, we end up serving a cause that we're not sure of. Because you see, Jesus doesn't ask for a little of you. He asks for all of you. And if you're not sold on Jesus, it can do a whole lot of hard things if you're then trying to be sold out for Jesus and how you live. Because you're not sold on the vision that he's casting for your life. And so Jesus looks at us and says, I need all of you. What will happen if we don't allow him to be it? Sometimes it leads to broken religion. We do things out of the wrong heart. How many times have we seen that? People who look like they claim Jesus, but sometimes it seems to be lacking. We've seen broken churches. sometimes we end up bitter. You know, I don't think there should be bitter Christians. I don't think that those two words should go together. Because when I see Jesus for who he is and the call and the ownership over my life, meaning that he has access to literally everything of me, I shouldn't have that bitterness eventually should be something that's uprooted because it's clearly not of Christ. Same with cynics. Cynics, how can we have Christian cynics? That just doesn't seem to make sense. We have the hope of eternity and the hope of glory, the only hope this world has, and yet still we can be cynical. Why? Potentially we lean too much on hopes within this world that Jesus, very clearly if you read his word, has marked out that this world is not where you're going to find the hope that you're looking for. So how can we have Christian cynics? Jesus isn't saying, let me be a stone. Let me be a part of your house. He's saying, let me be the foundation on which everything is built. That's what we got to do. And when he does that, when you allow him to do that, he'll reveal each piece that needs to be in your life. In Exodus 25:40, it's so funny. I mean, if you go through like a bunch of the Old Testament, anytime they talk about building the tabernacle or the temple, it's like this incredibly long list of boring materials. Like, you're like, Lord, why is this here? Why is this here? But they take so much scripture to put it there. And this is like, I'm going to get to heaven one day. I'm going to go, God, maybe I'm sorry for having such a boring attitude when I came to reading these pieces. But good golly, Lord, this was a hard one for me, especially because I'm a slow reader. But it says in Exodus 25:40, it says, see that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Use every material God has. You see, if you are the temple, God has specific pieces he wants to put in your life. He has specific things that ought to be included in your life and certain things that really ought not be included in your life. Doesn't that kind of sound like laws? Yeah, God gave us the way to live life with his word. And these words, when you look at King David, when he saw the law of God, he says, man, I love the law. Because he saw what it did for his life. And even when he messed up, he knew he broke the commandment of God. And he saw the effect. He included something into his life that shouldn't have been there. And he felt the consequence of having a material, something within him that shouldn't have been there. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants us to know that he wants us to include every piece that he's meant to have within the building that he's building, and you are that building. But it starts with having him as the foundation because it's this. He wants the right to tell you what you do and have access within all of your life to do that. So that way, when hard times come, you go, okay, Jesus, who am I going to listen to here? We want to be listening to Jesus. But here's the beautiful thing. You say yes to Jesus. You say, God, okay, I surrender my life to you. It, Jesus becomes the foundation of your life and then begins the process of fixing up the room. So the foundation has been laid. It says this, you are being built together as a dwelling place for Holy Spirit. He's going to come in and he's going to begin to clean up the rooms. You see, when you accept Jesus, that's day one, right? The rest of your life is now the process of God beginning to include the materials that he wants in your life and taking out the things he doesn't want, right? He's going to rid you of the sin within our life and he's going to insert things that will make you holy. Holier and holier, to give more access so Holy Spirit can move freely through all of your life so he can use you for his purposes. That's what he's going to do. God has a plan for your life. Bad things can sometimes happen. This idea of a process is a beautiful thing. Scott Mission was a camp where I worked, and I had these two kids in my cabin. They were 7 years old. We were going to go mountain biking, and I asked them, do you know what you're doing? And they said, oh, yeah, this is fine. I said, no, seriously, I need to know. Like, we're going on the hardest hill. And they're like, we know what we're doing. Anyways, they both totaled the bikes. I've never seen it before, but the back tire was touching the front tire when we got to the bottom of the hill because a kid ran into the tree, and then we had to take the other kid to the hospital. So clearly, they didn't know what they were doing, right? When it comes to Jesus, he's not expecting us to be pros the second I say yes to Jesus. There is nothing within your life that is a shock to Jesus. Holy Spirit isn't staring at you with shame because you have a hidden sin. It's not like he was blind to it before you said yes to Christ. He's not blind to it once you say yes to Christ and you continue in it. He's never been blind to any of it. He knows it's going to take time for us to become holy. He knows that. It's not going to be like we hop on a hill and try to go down it and everything's hunky-dory. Hebrews 12 says, get rid of everything that hinders. That's what God's going to come in and do. This process, slowly, like my wife, walking into each room of our house going, okay, we're going to fix the living room. Now we're going to do the kitchen. God's going to go through each part of your life if you give him access. And he will begin to make it and model it after himself for his purposes. And he'll get rid of the stuff that's got to go. He's going to do that. Because currently within all of our houses, within us, this building, we all have things that can quench the Spirit, whether we want that or not. We all have things that can quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us that. We want to be rid of things that quench the Spirit. And you see, any part of my life I don't give God access to, probably there's something disallowing him to remove within my life. So God's going to come in, and he's going to begin to do the hard work. Question again, who's building your house? Who's the one driving your life? Who's the foundation? What's the foundation of your life? Are you willing to let Holy Spirit move freely? Because when Holy Spirit comes in, it's like he sometimes comes in with a sledgehammer. You know, I see Zoolander in that one scene standing there in a tank top with a sledgehammer ready to just go ham. And I think he was mining though, but regardless of that, I just see that picture of Holy Spirit wanting to come in and he wants to just take a sledgehammer to the walls of our life. Because sometimes we've been like hoarders. Who's seen the show Hoarders? Anybody? Anybody seen that? There's always a dead cat in the rooms. Why is there dead cats all the time? But some of us have hoarded things. We've said, this is important to me, this is important to me, this is important to me. And then you begin to say, Jesus, should I keep this in my life? And he's going to go, it's got to go. There's going to be things that he's going to do that with. And he's going to begin to rid things, but then include things so that he can move freely through you. And I got to tell you, it's the most beautiful thing when we begin to see that happen. The next part, what we see is it tells us that Jesus is the one who's going to join everything together. There's parts of your life, there's things of your life that you've been made, right? You were made by God, in the image of God, for purposes of God. There's parts of your life that maybe you have stumbled into, things you've done that you don't love. There might even be sins that you're prone to, things that you go, God, why did you make me this way? Why did you build me this way? Why couldn't you have made me not prone to drinking? Why couldn't you have made me less prone to anger? Why do you have to build me that way? Couldn't you have just made me as that guy who just gets it easy? You know, why'd you do this? You see, when we come to Jesus, when he made you, he wasn't having a bad day. He was having a great day. And like I said, he was the one who has rights to the identity of you. And what he will do is he's going to take every bit of your life and the things that you're most confused about why did you include this, God? He's going to take when you lay it in his hands, and he will make sense of it. He will make sense of those things in your life that you look at and you potentially are even ashamed of. But God will take and he will use for his glory. You know, take some of my own personal battles. You know, many men battle with the issue of pornography. And pornography has much less, actually more than just men these days. Many women struggle with it too. But one of the main issues with pornography doesn't have to do with a sexual thing, as much as that's an area where it is. It has much more to do with a fantasy thing. Not liking where you're at. Wishing to be in another world. That's way more what porn is about than anything else. Having a fantasy about something than something else. And you go, how could God possibly redeem something like that? Well, here's what it is in my life. Porn was somewhere where I turned because of failed expectations. But my failed expectations wasn't my wife. My failed expectations, I was putting on God. I was blaming God. I was saying, God, I'm doing everything for you, and you're not meeting me. And then I just realized, this is a terrible cycle. This is not what I should be doing. And I began to come to the Lord and lay it at his feet. And here's what I got to see. You have this gross part of your heart that you go, I don't like this part of me. But here's what I learned the redeemed side of that is. I now have these fantasies. Imagine a fantasy just surrendered to Jesus, going in a 100% different direction, where I can picture a church on fire for Christ. So a world that, yeah, I do not see, but I am intoxicated with the idea of it happening. Because I'm going, God, you can do that. You can come in and you can break down the walls that nobody else can break. And when I see that, and I think about some of the worst parts of myself, I go, look at how God redeemed it. He now takes that same heart of fantasy that I have for a world that I do not see and pray, Jesus, would you make it happen? Would you do it? And so you've got something in your life that you look at and go, God, why is this here? Why do I struggle with this? And I say, you lay it at the feet of Christ and don't pretend that this is your identity. And you say, God, who did you say I was? Who do you say I am? And you let him tell you and watch what he'll do. All of a sudden, it's a completely different look at whatever thing you've been battling, whatever thing you've been wrestling through. So Jesus will join it together. He will join it together. So the beginning questions are these then. So what do I got to do, Michael? What do I got to do to begin this? Great question. What's consuming you? You are being shaped innerly, right? Jesus wants to shape the inner us. What do you spend time watching? Okay, so take our teens, for example. They don't have attention span beyond 15 stinking seconds. What do they spend time doing? They spend time watching TikTok, which is 15-second videos. Of course they don't have an attention span beyond 15 seconds. That's what they're consuming. What are we consuming? What am I watching? First question. That'll shape the inner mind, spirit, and soul. What am I watching? What are you reading? Are you spending most of your time reading politics? Most likely that's where some of the cynicism can sometimes come from. You go like, look at this world. It's going to that place where the sun don't shine in a basket. You know, it's not looking hot. What are you watching? What are you reading? What kind of people are you interacting with? And finally, what are your habitual patterns? What things are you constantly found doing all of the time? These things really take part in shaping the inner you. We want to make sure we know what we're consuming. Tim shared this awesome story with me. So there was a guy who would go to houses and he would clean sewage. He'd go in at wherever those houses needed sewage cleaned, and he would set the machine to suck and suck out the stuff, and he'd take it to the dump place, and he'd set it to blow. One house, he went to do this thing, and he's talking to the owner, and all of a sudden, the house, they begin to see a... And they begin to look up, and they're going, that looks like a brownish color. And the guy has this moment of freak out, and he runs, and he recognized he had set his machine to blow when he was supposed to have it on suck in this one house. And he had literally loaded the house with, you know. he loaded it with sewage. What are we consuming? What's within the walls of our house? The outside could look pretty, but what's on the inside is what matters. And the four areas, so we're going with the idea of a house, right? Four areas of your life that this will affect it, on what you watch, what you read, the people you interact with, and your habitual patterns. What will you get? What will you get if you let Jesus come in and transform? If you let Jesus be the one who's the foundation, Holy Spirit come in and say, I'm going to clean house and do what I want with this building, you. Here's what you'll see. This is what gets me excited. Okay, sorry, before I say that, I have two questions that I want you to be thinking about. Sorry, my fault. Before I read them, two questions that I think are worth writing down. before I dive into this is, what personal vision do you have for your life? Meaning, if you were to write it in a letter like I have, it's this: Dear God, the life I want most is, what follows that line? If Holy Spirit's working in you and you let Jesus be the foundation, that letter looks very different. Question two, do you have any intentions of being that person? I don't like that question because it attacks right to the heart of my battles. Do I intend to be what I'm saying? So here's the four areas now that you'll get to see if you let Holy Spirit do the work. First is like the library. So in a house, it's like the library, your thought life. Here's what you get to see. They love to dwell upon God's greatness and loveliness as brought to the light of Christ, Jesus Christ. They adore God in nature, in history, in the Son, and in the saints. One could even say they're God intoxicated. They do not dwell upon evil. It's not that big of a thing in their thoughts. They are sure of its defeat because their minds are centered upon God. All other good things are also welcome there. I like that. That's the library. That's your thought life when it's transformed by Christ. And then we've got the rec room. This is your feelings. You know, God wants to get into the rec room of your life where everybody's intermingling, you know. Your feelings, they love people. Person transformed by the inner working of the Holy Spirit, they love people. They love their own life. Man, that's hard for some of you as soon as you hear that. They love their own life and who they are. They are thankful for their life even though it may contain many difficulties. They receive all of God's gifts and at least as his allowance. And so joy and peace are with them even in the hardest of times, even when suffering unjustly. Because of what they have learned about God, they are confident and hopeful and do not indulge thoughts of rejection, failure, or hopelessness because they know better. A guy I know named Randy is currently going through the works. He works at Timber. And Randy's going through it. You know, his wife's got cancer and many job changes and things like that. But every time you encounter Randy at Timber, you are met with this delight, this lightness about him, this absolute trust in the midst of his challenges. It's beautiful to watch. And you watch him interact with the youth. He gives that to them. I mean, Randy, I feel like I'm cooler than Randy. Like, he's an odd duck. But I mean that in the best of ways. I genuinely mean, he knows exactly who the Lord made him to be, and he just lets that shine. He throws his hands on kids and prays for them, and you watch the awkwardness of the kids sink in, but he doesn't pull back. He doesn't pull back. I think of Randy when I hear that. The next one, and this will be the last one I'll read for the sake of time, is the office, your will. Whose will do you listen to? Do you do what you want or do you do what Jesus wants? This is a hard one for me. Children of the light do not hesitate to do what is what they know to be good and right. They do not think first of themselves and what they want, and they really care very little about getting their own way, looking not for their own interests, but to the interests of others. Whew. They are abandoned to God's will and do not deliberate as to whether they will do what they know to be wrong. I think about all our AA brothers and sisters and NA friends who attend here. I know that daily they got to wake up and say, not my will, but your will be done. That's hard. What about us? What about you and I? When I wake up, whose day do I fulfill? My day or Christ's day? When I give God access to all the parts of my life, he'll come in and he'll transform those things. That's what I'll think like. That's what my will will be like. And that's what my feelings will be like. And imagine what the world will see when then they see me. What will they see? The power of the Holy Ghost at work in you and I. And nobody wants to walk by a building like that and not stop and say, what's different about you? Like when they see my in-law's house, people stop and they take a picture because they say, that's an incredible structure. When they see you, let that be what happens. And you go, that's not possible. And I say, where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? Maybe that's something you got to surrender. Say, God, I don't see how you can do it. Maybe we got to be that guy who came to Jesus and said, God, can you heal me? Can I? Of course he can. Of course God can come in and transform the things that maybe we don't think he can. God has the power. The final one I'll leave to you is this. Why do we want God to do this? Or so much of this that we just talked about is about you and God, your interaction and ability so God can move freely through you, so you can live out the purpose of what you were built for. We are meant to know Christ. God built us to be in relationship with him. But it comes with a second part. Part of the purpose of God is activation. The doors of your church should be open. Activation, it's like a front porch. God wants people to see in because God's heart is so for the lost. Part of it is to reach out, be seen as people reaching to a dying world, because each person's a building with potentially a foundation that won't stand for eternity. And so God looks at his church and say, will you care? Will you care to let that happen within you? Because God wants to use you and change you. But what we need is the touch of the power of God. Who's building your house? What's the foundation? Like I said, the one part I think is maybe some of us look at us and say, I'm too far gone, I can't do it. I don't think I'll ever be more than what I am. I can't be Pastor Tim. I can't be as holy as him. he laughed. That's a good sign, I think. But here's what Jesus said when talking to his disciples about troubles. He says, I've told you these things so that you might have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome. There is nothing about the structure of you that God cannot overcome. For God has overcome the world. And here's the next one. I just love it. It says, for God did not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's his spirit. That's the power that I'm talking about. And that's what we need. And that's what you need. And that's what I desperately need. God wants to build us into the church that he wants for us. Build you into the building where the spirit can move freely, unobstructed by dead cats and boxes. That's what he wants. Let's pray. Let's pray. You're his image bearer. You're his image bearer. God, thank you that you have made us. You have made us in a way that you want to have free access to every room so that we can be used exactly for the purposes that you purposed for us. Lord, would everybody here know that they have a divine purpose, something that you have set out for only them to do. Lord, would we not have deaf ears and blind eyes, but open eyes and open ears and an open heart to receive whatever you have, Lord. Jesus, I just pray now and ask, Lord, would you speak in a way, have we built ourselves on a foundation of you? If not, God, I pray you highlight it. Are you just a block within the house, maybe just a room? Jesus, is there a room within my heart, an area I don't want to surrender? God, I pray you would highlight it and then begin to do your powerful, powerful work that only you can do. Without you, we're powerless. But you, Lord, are powerful. Lord, I pray that we would not be a people of little faith or people without vision for our life. But we would ask you, God, what purpose do you have? And begin to live it out. Love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for each one here. In your name we pray. Amen.